Let me ask you a question. Is God's word powerful? So is God's word worth studying? Now, don't Bible study, is it worth it? We are starting a new course up, and it's on the table at the front, whether you can do a morning or an afternoon. And the reason we're doing it is because the Bible has this to say. It said, God's word is powerful, and my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. My people, this is God's people, this is you and me, we are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. There's nothing worse than not knowing something. Nothing worse than not knowing something. You know, an old pastor used to go to a school once a week. And one day he decided to take the fourth grade, and he said to them, I want you to tell me the states, all the states. And so they all start writing them down, and they got up to about 40. And he said to them, he said, in my day, he said, we would have known all the states. And this little girl stood up and said, yes, but sir, you have to remember, there was only 13 then. But my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And Peter starts off by saying, therefore, we should always stop, by the way, on two things. One, when we hear a word but in Scripture, we should always stop when we hear the word but. That is a significant point. And the second one is therefore. As someone once said, what is it there for? What is that word therefore worth for? And Peter is saying, because we need to have a good foundation of knowledge. Not that it may stay here, but that it may stay here and I keep doing this. I must have a left-handed side heart. There's no question about it because I'm always touching this side. But apparently it is here. But it's so that we, as newborn babies, can desire the word of God, that we might put off malice, deceit. And so we read those things. God wants us to change our lives. And I was reading my daily word this morning, and from Billy Graham. And I liked Billy Graham gives you one verse a day, and then he goes into it. And it was exactly on this theme. I think it was Ephesians 4, exactly the same. And I thought, it's not a coincidence, it's a God instance. And his theme is that, as Billy Graham was saying this morning, God has designed us for change. And Billy Graham used this story. He said there was in the Old West, he said there was a guy who used to hitch up his carriage every day at the pub. And then he would obviously the next day unhitch his carriage and ride out on his business. And one day he'd hitched it up to the Methodist church. And the barman came out to meet him and said, hey, he said, why have you hitched your horses up to the Methodist church this morning? And he said, because I have a new hitching style. I have a new hitching style. I have changed, he said. Last night, he said, I met God last night. And he said, I have now changed my style. I have changed. I will no longer hitch my horses outside your pub. From now on, I'll be hitching my horses outside my new place, which was the church. And God is saying that we need to have this change that God has. Therefore, because this change has happened, we are to lay aside certain things and we are to put on certain things. And I ask you to read 1 Corinthians 13 from the Message. Because 1 Corinthians 13 gives us this complete contrast on what love is and what love is not. I love the bit where it says, love does not strut in the Message. I don't know what it actually means in the other one, but love does not strut. But when you read 1 Corinthians 13 from the Message, you get a fantastic, I believe, explanation. It's a modern translation, but it really shows you what true love is compared to the theology of what love is out there. And we need to change to 1 Corinthians 13. Therefore, what's it there for? Well, Peter's saying it's there because you have now changed your hitching horses. You have changed. Your life has been changed. And Paul talks about it in Colossians 3 as a fourfold change. Paul tells us in Colossians 3 that we've had a new perspective. We no longer have a perspective that we used to have. Your life has now got a different perspective, or it should have. You and I are destined for glory. Hallelujah. Our perspective has changed. Our purpose in life has changed. There has been a personal change come into our hearts. It may not suddenly have felt a change, but I want to tell you, the moment you took Jesus as your Savior, you had a personal change. You changed from hitching your horses from that side into this side. We've had a positional change. We've changed our positions, as Billy Graham was saying in that short story. No longer would he hitch his horses at the pub. He would hitch his horses outside his local church. You and I have had a positional change. And I hope to God we've had a peaceful change. But Paul is telling us that the Christian life is one of change. And the only way we can change is when we have a good, solid knowledge of the Word of God. Yes, God has changed us by giving us His Holy Spirit. The Bible makes it clear, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, there has been no change coming to your life. But the moment you accepted Jesus, you received a gift from God. And that gift of God was so that you and I, when we read the Word of God, it may explain it and help us to change. Because Paul talks about this, doesn't he? Paul talks about putting off. It's the Greek. It is the Greek for taking your clothes off. We're not going to do that this morning, but if I was to take my shirt off now, I'd be putting off. You take some certain stuff off. It means to cast it aside. Now, sometimes, when I get changed, I leave my clothes on the floor. And it doesn't go down well with the wife. Now, I thought when I got married that that was part of the wife's duties. No? No. And so I strutted all my stuff all over the floor. Whoops. And Abel was very quick to point out that that is not the way it should be done. I won't tell you the exact words that she used, but that's what it means. And what I should have done was to tell her that I was trying to get some knowledge and trying to show her from Scripture. That's what I should have done. I should have tried to give her a spiritual application here, shouldn't I? I should have said, listen, love, I'm stripping off. I'm laying off all the stuff that I need to get rid of. And Paul talks about it. You need to put off. And what does Peter say? Peter said too, you need to put off all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all even speaking. Peter and Paul are perfectly in agreement that there comes a point in our lives when we are to strip off. But to strip off, to put on. We're not to be streakers. We are to strip off, to strip on. And Paul says, when you've stripped off all that stuff, I want you to put on. I want you to put on clothes with a new personal way of behavior. That's what that Greek means. It means that we put on things. We put on things. See that you what? Being with a pure heart fervently. Being born again. You know, that's what the word born again means. Born again means I've had a completely new start in my life. That's what the word born again means. It's not a technical term which you shouldn't understand. It means something has happened in my life. I have been completely changed. I have been had a new start in life. And that new start means I get rid of the stuff that I used to have and I put on the stuff that now I should be putting on. And one of them is love. Love. And we talked about this in the last few weeks. Love one another with a heart fervently being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How do we do it? By the Word of God. Let's say it, because that's why I'm trying to talk to you this morning about the Word of God. My people perish because of lack of. How do I get it? It says I can love somebody here this morning because I'm not born now of corruptible seed. I've been born of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. And what does the Word of God do? It lives forever and ever. Amen. Come and say to God this morning, I cannot change God. God says, that's rubbish. You can change because you now are born of the corruptible. No, the incorruptible. By my word. And if my word can live forever, you can change. This is not a coincidence that Paul and Peter are on the same line. Paul and Peter were adverts that you and I should know our Bible. You and I should know the Word of God. It should be something that now is part of our DNA. Why? Because the Word of God creates. How does it create? Well, what does the Bible say in Hebrews 11 verse 3? Through faith, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by who?
The Word of God.
And we talked about the Word last week as being Christ. Amen. Do you remember? In the beginning was the Christ, and Christ was with God, and Christ was God. The same was in the beginning. That was the word Logos. Today we're going to look at the word Rhema, which is a different word to the word Logos. But both mean the word. One means a spoken word, as we have in the creation, the Logos. Christ said, let there be light, and there. But today he wants to talk to you about the Rhema of the Word of God. And people are perishing. Christians we're talking about. My people, not ungodly people, but my own people are perishing because they have a lack of the knowledge of God. You took Christ as your Savior by faith. You didn't understand everything. Oh, well, certainly I did not understand anything. But I decided that one day I put a trust in my faith in God. But I got that faith in God to put that trust because the Holy Spirit illuminated. The Bible tells us that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. God's Word. But I want to tell you, the Word of God does create. It creates something when you read the Word of God inside your spirit. God has created His own Word that it might change us. Not only does it change us, it says, through faith you understand that the worlds were made. We take that as fact because God has said it. And if we can believe that God said, let there be light, and there was light, then surely when God says something in the Word, we can adhere to exactly the same thing. Not only does it create, but it sustains life. It upholds all things. God's Word not only creates, it upholds all things. This is what Hebrews 1 verse 3 says. Let's read it. Because this has got to get through to our spirits this morning. God's Word creates something inside you this morning. When you read your daily reading, it's going to not only create, but it will uphold all things. It says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things. How does He uphold all things? By the Word of His power. He creates all things by His Word, but He upholds all things by His Word. Can we see, not only does God create something inside our spirit when we read it, but He can also uphold that which has been kept. But it also sustains you this morning. I want to go quickly through this. What does Jesus say to Satan when he's being tempted? What does He say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but how do we live? Not only does it uphold you, not only does it create something in your spirit, let me tell you, it will sustain you. If you know the Word of God, it will sustain you. We need to be a people who are absolutely sure of who we love and serve this morning, because we're living in a world which is totally anti to God. We need to be absolutely certain in who we have this morning. And God wants us not to perish because of a lack of knowledge. God wants us to do the opposite, which is why I keep saying we're going to go through the New Testament, we're going to go through it slowly, and we're going to learn the Word of God that it might create something in our spirit, it might uphold us when things are not going well, and it might sustain us at the times when we just need sustaining. You see, people can talk all over you and encourage you, and that's great, and give you a word of prophecy, and that's great. But I want to tell you, nothing, nothing, nothing will help you more than knowing the Word of God. Nothing more will help you. And it's been given to us. The Bible also says it's powerful. It's powerful. What does the Word of God say? It is powerful. For the Word of God is what? Quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is the Word of God. The Romans got it right. The Romans realized that in order to win battles, they needed a sword which had two edges on. And the Word of God is, Paul says, exactly that two-edged sword. It exactly, from the left or to the right, no matter what scripture or thought you use, let me tell you, the Word of God is powerful. Powerful is the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful this morning. It can change. It can transform your life this morning. We all know that. I just put it up there just to remind us. God's word is given that we might have basic information before leaving earth. You see, when you get to heaven, it won't be no good. God wants us to have a knowledge of him this morning so you can wake Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and back here next Sunday. God wants you to have a word of knowledge so you will not perish, that you will be able to sustain, that you will be able to uphold all things, that you will be able to know the word of God, create something, because you need some basic information before leaving earth. And a Sunday school teacher asked a class, does anyone know what it means by the sins of omission? Little girl said, oh, are those the sins we should have committed but yet haven't? But do we know the word of God? Does it sustain you in your daily life? Does it uphold you in your daily life? When your life is going pear-shaped, will the word of God uphold you? Will it sustain you? Does the word of God create something in your spirit when you read it for the first time, or you read a passage and you think, wow, I never saw that before? And the word of God has created something. The word of God is powerful. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The word of God is powerful. The Pharisees, you know, they were bound by religion. It wouldn't change and transform their lives. That's what the Bible has to say about the Pharisees. Sorry, this is what Proverbs 4 verse. Take firm hold of instruction. Don't let it go. Keep her, for she is your life, my son. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. If you take that verse as the word of God, then you will not lack of a perish of knowledge. You will not lack. But what did God say to the Pharisees? He says, listen, you have made the word of God of no effect by your traditions. They've taken the word of God. They'd taken the word of God, transformed it into what they thought was life, and all they did is bind people. And the people were perishing in Jesus' day because of a lack of knowledge. It's no good reading the Bible and putting your own private interpretation on it, but you have been given the Holy Spirit to help you to understand God's precious word. And God was pretty critical here, wasn't he? He called them whitewashed tombs. Because you see, they were taking the word of God and they were perishing people. People were perishing. And yet the word of God had came to give life. Because Paul said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But the Pharisees were using it to create their own ends. I wonder if we know the word of God so much that the word of God inspires us. As 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration. Inspiration. And it's profitable, as we finish this morning, to do these four things. It's profitable for doctrine, to show us what to believe. That's study. For reproof, to show us where we go wrong. The Bible says your word is a... and a... You see, we live in a world today of relativism. If it feels good, it must be right. If it feels good, then that's okay. That's good for you. I want to tell you, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says there are ways which seem right to a man, but in the end it lies to death. We don't believe in relativism. The Bible's there to correct us, to bring us to a right path. It's given us to instruction. You see, the prosperity of Solomon's reign was a result of God's promises to his faithful servant Moses. And Solomon said the one thing about the word of God. He said the word of God is dependable, as he said in 1 Kings 8:56. He says there has not failed one word of all his good promises. I want to tell you something, four things as we finish this morning. The Word of God is dependable. Everything else might let you down, but let me tell you, that's why the Bible says you will not lack or perish if you know the Word of God, because God's Word is dependable. If God says this is what is going to happen, that is what is going to happen. You can go and deposit God's Word into a bank. We need to have that inscribed in our hearts this morning so we know that we can taste that sincere milk that Peter was talking about, and we can strip off those things that need to be stripped off and put on those things that need to be put on, because we know that I can depend upon God's Word only if God's given you a word. And that's why if somebody gives you a word of prophecy, you must seriously weigh it up. You might thank them, but you must weigh that word up, because that word may not be a word from God. I believe in prophecy. I believe in words of knowledge. I believe in words of encouragement. But I also believe that I must weigh those words up, because I can take what that person says, and it may be scripture, but yet God has not given that word. That word is not right for you. All scripture is given as an inspiration, but not all scripture in every sense, can I say this sincerely, not all scripture in every sense that someone may give you might be right for your circumstances you're facing that day. If somebody has given you something and you know in your spirit that has come from God, you've weighed it up, I want to tell you, it will happen, because God's word is dependable. You must ensure that the verse of scripture that's given over you, if someone gives you a word of knowledge, is the word that God has given for you. And the word of God is durable. Heaven and earth will pass away, but I want to tell you something about the word of God this morning. God's word's going to last forever. And ever. And ever. A man called Voltaire in the 18th century predicted that Christianity would be dead within 100 years. There will be no more Christians. There will be no more God. His building was used to convert Bibles into every language in the world. The same house in which he spoke it, God used it to convert Bibles, and they were sent all over the world. His name was Voltaire. I want to tell you, God's word will not pass away. God's word is dependable and it is durable. I want to tell you something else about God's word, and we've talked about it this morning. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's powerful. And this is where I'm coming in to finish off. This is the Rhema. The Rhema is the word of God which is given to you for that very occasion. It's a spoken word over your life. It happened in Romans 10 verse 17. It's a spoken word that someone might give you, David, and that would be a rhema. You take that word, like I've just been talking about, and if that word is meant for you, it'll enrich your soul, and the rhema must come into your spirit, and you stand by that rhema. Because the rhema is a powerful word of God. It was given to us. This is true story. In Newbury, I used to preach in Newbury sometimes, but in Newbury the minister stood up and said, I've got some good news and some bad news. And they said, well, what's the good news? He said, the good news is we have enough money to do our building extension. And everyone cheered. And then they said, oh, what's the bad news? He says, it's still in your pockets. Let me do it. There's a pastor in Erdington said, good news and bad news. Yeah. Good news, we've got enough money to bring that new person on board. Bad news. Yeah, oh, you haven't got it, have you? Listen. It's a powerful word which is spoken into your life. It's the Rhema. You came to know Jesus because as you were listening to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit ignited something and you came to a decision that you needed to trust Jesus as your Savior. You received the Rhema. The Logos was the spoken word, but the Rhema was that word that came into that spirit. It's a spoken word. It's an utterance of word. It's a word for a specific time. You came to know Jesus at a specific time. You might have heard the gospel message 30 or 40 times, but then one day, suddenly it all made sense. That word which you had heard so many times, suddenly became a rhema. Many scholars define this action as rhema as being the Holy Spirit using a few verses of scriptures and making it alive to the individual. It is sometimes a specific word to a specific person in a specific situation. Because let me tell you, there is power in the spoken word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are life and spirit. Let me repeat that because we're finished now. The words that I speak unto you are life and spirit. But my people are perishing because of a lack of knowledge. It's not sustaining my people. It's the sower of the seed. It's not sustaining them. It's not upholding them. It's not encouraging them. It's not doing anything for them, because the rhema which I want to give them for a specific reason or specific occasion, isn't able to fit into their spirit because they don't know the word of God. And yet Jesus says, the words that I speak are life and spirit. When the word of God is born in your heart, you can overcome anything. As more of the word is born in you each day, you will begin to take back more and more ground that the devil has stolen from you in every area of your life. So tonight, when you go to bed, and David, you throw off all your clothes and leave them beside Sandra's place right on the floor, and Sandra gets onto you, David, you're saying, I'm doing this. Duck when you say it, but you're saying, Sandra, I'm putting off the old life. And then when Sandra throws you your pajamas, you can say, I'm putting on the new one. But unfortunately, it's not that easy. To do the putting on, you have to know the word of God. And the final slide for you. I want to give you some advice on reading the Bible. Be sensitive to the person who wrote the Bible, the Holy Spirit. He's your teacher. As you open your Bible tomorrow, I want you to just say these words. Holy Spirit, I thank you, you wrote the word of God. This is your word you've written. Therefore, he must understand it. He wrote it. Father, I would like to be really sensitive to your spirit today, and I'm expecting you to speak. Help me to communicate and listen to the word of God. Do that first. Remember that God doesn't want you to perish, does he? He doesn't want you to perish. He wants the opposite. So therefore, he is there to encourage you to read the word of God. Second point, as you feel the rhema, that's the word of God sinking into your spirit, as you read, and that's the Logos, read the Bible out aloud, by the way, happens when you read the word of God out aloud instead of just reading without speaking. Read it, because that's the Logos out aloud. And let the rhema of the word of God sink into your spirit as you listen. Write things down. What is God saying? That's the first thing I do. What is being said? That's the first thing I do. What is being said? I look at the verse and I ask, what is being said? And then I put down that, who is saying this? And then the third thing I put down is, why are they saying this? And then the fourth thing I put down is, what can I learn from this? That's simple, isn't it? Four W's. What's being said? Who's been saying it? Why has he been saying it? Can I apply that to my life? And I write these things down. It's called a journal. The stubborn place in the lives of many Christians has been the place of failure to obey the word of God, though. It's no good getting your notes and saying, do you know what? Now God is saying I should do this, and we don't do it. Be obedient to the word of God is what changes your life. And finally, it's better to read a small section then go through chapters and chapters. Get a portion of scripture, just a few verses, and do those four W's. And remember to make it part of your daily diet. And I think there's one more, David. I think I've got it wrong. I think there's one more. Start in the New Testament, in John's Gospel is where I would prefer. Don't start in the book of Revelations. In the Word was God, and the Word was God. Let's finish by reading John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. It was there to sustain life. It was there to create life. It's there to uphold life. And God's Logos, his spoken word for you today, is that you may not perish over a lack of knowledge, but that you might know him, obey his word, have your life transformed, and live a life which will enrich you in blessing, because you know the word and the truth has set you free.